It's Monster.
It's Wine. And this podcast may not be suitable for all ages.
The opinions we have in our podcast aren't necessarily the same of those of the Comic Bastards.
So blame us if things get too saucy.
Or too awesome.
Let's go!
Ain't no jiving around this week, folks. You are listening to The Monster and
Wine
Hour of Power, and we're just gonna get right into this MF-er.
Whew.
Because quite frankly, I'm done effing around with you people.
I got zero patience up in this bitch.
I'm sick of it. Sick of everything. I'm sick of having patience. Whew. All right. I'm tired now.
Ah, I know.
A lot out of me.
That's it. We're done.
Yeah, that's it. No, she means it. And, you know, it's my duty to stand behind her decision. How's it going, Aaron?
Oh, it's going. It's been...
it's been a week.
I was going to say it's been a week, but it's been 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah. It's been a thing.
I've had a thing.
You've had some things going on at the Casa de Wine.
At the Monster. What is it? I forgot what the studio name was called. The Guy Pictures Productions podcast studio.
That place.
Yeah. That place.
Let's just kick off with that, with your woes. The old studio.
So, it's woes. Yeah, it's just frustration.
Woe be you.
There was a second casualty to the great, what are we calling it? The great rainage, the great flood.
The rain onslaught of 2017.
The rain onslaught of 2017. As you may have pieced together from the end of last week and the new segment we are calling Car Talk or Car Spiel. My car, it didn't survive it. It needs things. But there was another casualty that fateful day.
There always is.
When I came home, I really don't remember if I talked about this, but I came home, I half expected to just open the door and water to just pour.
I think we talked about this because it was kind of hard not to, just because of the insane amount of rain that Southern California was getting.
Right.
And how I think we had mentioned how your place was like at ground level. So
the water came in from the outside wall, and you couldn't tell. By looking at it, the carpet wasn't discolored or anything. But whenever you went in the living room by the sliding glass door, in my bedroom by my window, all of a sudden it was like you were in a marshy South American South wetland. Got real squishy.
You were suddenly in Louisiana.
Suddenly
in Louisiana in the marsh.
Yes.
With a cup of jambalaya and galoshes.
Yeah, I did have a craving for shrimp.
I guarantee.
I just wanted
to have this. You call this Creole?
I wanted to have a bucket of shrimp and every liquor that I had in my cabinet and just pour it into one beverage cup.
And make your own, Mardi Gras drink.
I, being a responsible tenant, I went online. I knew there weren't going to be any miracles because I imagined that there was a lot of work that needed to be done on the property. But I just said, hey, heads up. Explain the situation of the marsh, the wetland, the Creole. And, well, I guess maybe like a week and a half later, by then it had dried. A week and a half later, the manager comes. Along with this other guy, guess he was his boss or something. And I explained to them what had happened, and they were like, oh, you know, they understood. And My whole goal was that I just didn't want there to be mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. So I explained that, and they're like, well, we can rip up the carpet and put in tile. Mm-hmm. And I reiterated, I was like, well, you know, I just don't, like, if that's the only alternative, I'm just really worried about mold. And the guy says, not the manager, the other guy says, no, you're not going to get mold. It's concrete underneath here. And then carpet, it's padding, which is foam. And then the carpet, it's not going to mold. At which time, I wasn't going to argue with this guy. But at which time, I'm thinking, that's not the way science works, buddy. Like, mold will grow any and everywhere. That's kind of what mold does.
Yeah.
So, I was like, all right, well, how much of an inconvenience is this going to be? And so they were like, oh, because you're going to rip up the whole tile in the living room and the bedroom. There's going to be a bit of an inconvenience. So, like, what am I looking at? Like, I specifically said, tell me what I have to do.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, no, it's not going to be an inconvenience at all.
Right. Bullshit.
I should.
It always is. It's already an inconvenience. Just know. Having to have it be dealt with.
Yes. I know. So I say, just tell me what I need to do. And the guy looks around. He's like, well, you don't really have a lot of stuff. How about you just move anything that you don't want them to touch? So I'm like, all right. So, and then you were like, oh, text the manager the 2 days. One day we'll do the living room and the next day we'll do your bedroom. And they'll set it up. They're like, we can do it next week, the week after, whatever. I'm like, all right, next week sounds good. I thought about it. I texted the manager. I was like, let's do this next Tuesday and Wednesday. So he's like, good. So Sunday, I went, all my guitars, my drum set, my Voltron toy, you know, anything off the shelves that I didn't want people to touch or mess with, I, you know, put it in my room. Everything else, I have these two big bookshelves. They just have books on them and DVDs. And then I have three other bookshelves with just CDs and DVDs. I'm like, okay, you know, those can be moved. It's just CDs and DVDs. So that day comes, I come back home, I park, I notice that the screen door, the blinds, are completely 100% open. So I can see immediately that the carpet is still there. And I'm like, what? But I know that somebody has been there because the blinds to my place are 100% open. So anybody walking by, full gander. Oh, let's look and see what's going on. I'm not that person. I keep those blinds 100% closed 100% of the time.
You're not on display.
I'm not on display. I don't want people walking by, looking in, seeing what I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just like, the carpet's there, I'm ticked. The blinds are 100% open, I'm ticked. I come into the house, there's like a 7-Eleven coffee cup on my table. So I already knew that people had been in there, but nothing was done. I contact the manager. The manager says, was very apologetic and says he was sorry, but I'm going to have to move like all of the stuff. They didn't want to move the bookshelves or anything. He said, you can leave the couch and you can leave the TV.
Right.
So, all right. Well, when are they going to come back? Next week. Next Tuesday.
Right.
All right. So that's irritating because by this time I'm already kind of like, you know, things are askew, things are ajar. But I decide to look at the silver lining of the situation. And I'm like, you know what? It's about time for me to go through some of these DVDs anyways. I don't need all of them.
Good call.
Right. Sunday comes around. That's what I do. Get together my DVDs. I'm like, that I don't want. keep the ones that I do want, take all the bookshelves, everything off the bookshelves. I'm like, you know what? I'll just take everything off, move them out of the way myself. Then that way I can put stuff kind of back on the shelves, just the storage. I do that. And I talked to the guy and he was like, yeah, you know, make sure like all the little things are in boxes. So I got boxes, boxed up everything. It pretty much, it was like I was moving. Oh,
that was like a full home renovation.
Yeah. So I boxed everything up. I put everything into my room that I could. Monday morning, I get a text from the manager. It was like, all right, the guys are coming tomorrow. Make sure that you move like everything into your bedroom and like the bookshelves and everything. And so I text him back. I was like, look, bro, the bookshelves are not fitting in my room because every other fucking thing I own is in my room right now. I just have a 6-inch walkway to just get to my bed. Everything else is in there. When I go to sleep at night, I feel like I'm living in a storage unit. That's the situation at hand right now.
Like an episode of Hoarders.
It is. It is. And that's... I don't like it, and I'm on edge.
Understandably.
So then it's Tuesday, and you know there's some stuff that was on my like on my couch, like the pillows, and I had like pictures on there, stacks of pictures, because you know I need to put some stuff on my bed. Obviously, I need to sleep, so before I leave, that's another storage area, so I could put stuff on my bed. So I do that. Have it all set up nicely. The only thing I didn't have moved was the couch and the TV, just like they said. I get to work. I text the manager in the morning because, you know, I'm still thinking that they're coming. It's Tuesday. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, Tuesday night, I got to move everything that's in my bedroom out into the front room because the next day they're going to be doing the bedroom. Mm. And I was looking. I was like, you know, I don't think they need to replace the carpet in the closet. I'm completely fine. It's an interior wall. I really don't want to move everything that's in my closet. I'm fine with that. So I text the manager to see if it's okay. We just leave the carpet in the closet. It's not a spacious walk-in closet or anything.
Yeah.
So he replies, yeah, okay, like I'll let him know. I'm not 100% sure they're going to get to your place today. But I am 100% sure that they will be there tomorrow. So I'm like...
Timeline keeps getting dragged out.
I'm like, what do you mean? Like, and so then he's like, you know, if they didn't show up today, just keep everything the way it was for tomorrow. So I'm like, all right. So there would just be a comedy montage of me just taking everything off the bed, moving it back. The next morning, doing the same thing again. So then that's Wednesday. I come home Wednesday. It's 5:00. I have a splitting headache. I mean, my head is throbbing. I look and there's a truck in my parking spot. And I can see that they're still working on it. And I'm hungry and I got a headache. And this whole thing has just been dragging out. And I'm living in a storage unit. So I pull up. And I'm like, should I park on the street? And I'm trying. I'm trying so hard not to be a bitch. You know? Because I am so irritated. But I am trying. So I'm just like, do you want me to park on the street? And they don't really understand me. English is not their first language. And the guy's like, oh, okay, no, I'll move it. And then... I said, when are you going to be done? Because it was already 5:00. I was like, when are you going to be done? He was like, today. So, okay. So he was nice. He moved the truck over. I parked in my spot. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought that I could maybe get in and then go into my room and like watch the internet or something. But when I went around, the door, like the couch was up next to the door. So I had to just go back out, sit in my car, irritated. Texting
a little bit.
Texting Jason.
Oh, it sounded like a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And then an hour later, about 6 o'clock, they're like, okay, we're done. And I look in and I can see that my TV hasn't been put back. And the only reason that I really want the TV put back is because the TV and the couch are the two things I can't move by myself. Everything else I can put back by myself. Mm. And the guy was like, no, no, we're not done. We'll come back tomorrow. I was like, you just told me that you would be done today. I was like, tomorrow? I was like, yeah, tomorrow. I was like, what? So
he's like, oh, every repairman from every sitcom.
Yeah.
Where just, they just drag it out and you're just like, when are you going to be done? We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about it.
So we're looking at Wednesday night. I get in. I'm like, all right, well, I can't watch TV. And then I look and I can't go on the internet. I can't do anything because they disconnected the cable. So I was really irritated.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really super, super, like, super angry.
I'm irritated just thinking about this.
At that point, though, I was like, you know what? Like, fuck it. I paid too much money to Spectrum not to have the internet. Because if I have the internet, then I can watch TV on my tablet. So I took out the modem and set it down where the plug length is, hooked up the cable to it, sat down, it was finally eating. And then it dawned on me that it was Wednesday and I got shows to record. And I was like, sons of bitches. So I went and got the cable box, hooked that up to the cable so that at least if it was hooked up, then the DVR could record. I'm not an animal. And then I just took a bath. All I could do was just take a bath.
God.
Yeah.
So then I'm with you right now.
Thursday, I come home. They hadn't been here. They hadn't. Everything was the same that I left it. So I contact the manager and I said, did they show up today? And he was like, yeah, I think they did. And I just responded, I don't. And he said, all right, well, I'll be over when I get there soon. And I was like, cool. If they are done, could you help me put back the couch and the TV? And to his benefit, he was like, sure. So I'm just waiting. Because at this point, the TV is pretty much blocking the bathroom.
Wow.
You know, everything. I'm just sitting there. I was totally hostage. And then I had some place I had to be at 8 o'clock. So I text him back. I was like, look, sorry, but do you know about what time you're going to be here? Because I got some place I got to be later. So I was like, yeah, in about 20 minutes. I'm asking myself, like, how mad am I allowed to be in this moment? And how mad do I present myself? Because I know I can't go Hulk.
But do you see the domino effect that takes place when people slack?
Oh, it's society now.
It's like everyone starts getting inconvenienced.
Yeah. So the guy comes over and he looks in and he's like, oh, they're done, except that they just need this, like, where the tile meets the vinyl. They got to put, like, you've seen it, like the metal thing that's like the incline. It's like the molding on the floor.
Okay.
So he's like, oh, they just need to put that in. So, like, meanwhile, like, the floor, it's all, like, dirty and dusty and shit. I'm just irritated. So I was like, all right, cool. So we can put the TV back and the couch back. He's like, yeah. So he's helping me carry, like, the TV back. And he's like, oh, you know, because it's really heavy. He's like, careful, like, watch the floor. And I, I didn't say anything, but in my head, I was just like a stick snapping. Like, this motherfucker's going to tell me be careful of the floor as I'm putting back my fucking TV.
Now he's proud of it. He's like, this is a new floor in my building.
I know. And you know what? Because when I asked him to help me put the TV back, I made the comment of like, I'm paying too much for cable not to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was explaining everything to me, I was just being, I made my point that I was not impressed with the communication that had happened and transpired. I understood where he was coming from and the position that he was in. I was very polite, but I also made it known that I was not happy. But not in a like, oh, King Kong, like pounding on my chest and this is what you did to me and this is what you did to me.
It's more of a stern way of saying this could have gone down a lot better.
Yeah, a kind of like, and it was funny because as when I was sitting stewing, thinking, I pulled up the place's website, and one of the first things that it says is it has some line about like every day we strive to make your living experience the best it could be. And so I told that to the manager. I'm like, you know, I went on your website and it says you're making the best of a living situation, but look at the way that I'm living right now. This isn't great.
You threw the website advertising back in his face.
I'm like, you got a smiley face with a phone headset talking about how great you are at communication and how you really want everyone to have a great life and living experience. I'm like, I'm not having that right now. I forgot to even mention. I forgot to even set this up, Jason. The manager is relatively newer, and he's been doing a pretty good job. Like there has been a difference. I see the
effort.
Yeah, exactly. And so, he had asked me when I was on vacation if I would write a review. Because they were kind of getting some shade thrown at them by, you know, ninja warriors and stuff. You know.
What? Like, what's a ninja warrior?
I meant keyboard warriors.
I was like, that show, Ninja Warrior? My parents love that show.
Yeah, I meant keyboard warriors.
That is the greatest, like, mix-up ever. Getting shade by ninja warriors.
Ninja warriors, man. They were just angry.
I just named this episode. Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome. So,
getting shade from ninja warriors. Let me write that down. Yeah, so
their internet was taking a hit, you know, and so they wanted a nicer review.
Yeah.
So he reached out to me and asked me, and so I gave him one. I'm not going to tell you what the ranking is, but let's just say that if it was out of 10 stars, I gave it an 8.
Okay.
Which, that is being really generous on my part. Okay. Honestly, you know?
Right.
But I'm like, I'm gonna play ball. I don't want to be known as a difficult tenant, you know?
Right. Maybe you scratch his back, he scratches yours, yada, yada.
Exactly. So he replied to me.
Uh-oh.
Why wasn't it a 10 out of 10? What can I do to make your experience a 10 out of 10?
What the? Is he one of those assholes that's just like, because you know that there are those assholes that rate something either a 1 because they hate it or a 10 because they liked it.
I don't know, Jason. I'm not into like his rating system of things.
There are those assholes where they don't even understand what the in-between means.
I didn't even really reply because I thought that an 8 out of 10 was a fantastic score.
So he sounded ungrateful.
He didn't sound ungrateful, but it like the tone of it was like, you know, well, what can we do to... It seemed very eager. Like, well, what can we do to make it, you know, a 10 out of 10?
I can't lose you too, Aaron.
So
what do we need to do?
I mean, at that point, I didn't have anything.
Right.
Now we fast forward.
Ah, yes.
And I'm like thinking about that, and I'm like, I'm not gonna bring that up. But I am kind of thinking like, this motherfucker, like, you asked me to rank you. I did, and you want to know what? Not doing any of this bullshit, that doesn't get you a 10 out of 10.
Right. So cleaning up this operation, that'll help.
I mentioned the thing about, you know, paying too much for cable, and he was like, well, what's the internet's like $50, and then like cable, and then I was like, yeah, but I get cable. He's like, oh, you don't need cable. Of all the things that I had endured and dealt with, when he said that, I saw red.
What's gonna snap a person, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I just saw red. I was like, seriously? Because he's like, well, you know, you got the Hulu and the... No, because I had my buddy self-control. Jesus took the wheel, Jason.
Yeah, because you didn't trust yourself at that moment.
Jesus took the wheel, and I just did... You know, in Seinfeld, when Elaine was going to say something, but she didn't, but she got that smile?
Yeah.
That's what I did.
And he gave you the whole, you don't need cable because we got all these streaming services speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was like kind of making that. But at that moment, that was not the thing that I wanted to hear.
Yeah, because it was kind of like not the point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't say anything. So all I want to do is get my TV set back up. So he's like helping me, and then he's like, you know, we get the TV move. He's like, well, watch the, you know, careful of the new tile and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, this tile.
Yeah.
And he steps back, and so I'm back in there. I got wires to put together and all this stuff, and on the floor in the dust, like I'm from Spectrum screwing things together and whatnot. And he's just kind of standing there, still has his sunglasses on.
Mr. Cool Guy.
And yeah, I didn't really know. Maybe they were prescription. And then he's like, what do you think of the tile?
He's like so proud of it. He's like waiting for you to be like, don't you love it?
Oh, I just...
Your thought was just like, I look at this tile and I just think of a huge inconvenience of my life for the last 2 weeks.
I honestly, my mind just went blank because I couldn't answer it truthfully, because truthfully I had not really looked at the tile. I had not really looked at the tile and... said and came to a conclusion about it, whether or not I like it or not, because it is what it is. And honestly, at that point, it was so dirty that I don't even like, and still I Swiffered it. I have to like go get more cleaning products because I still can't really tell what it is. It's just very dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't say anything.
He sounds like the type that can't read the room. Because if he could, he would probably know that you're kind of like not interested in the small talk.
I was hiding, I would say probably 40% of my full rage.
Yeah.
So that I seemed like a sane person.
Yeah.
He's a good manager. Like I understand that a lot of it isn't him, because he even said it. He was like, the guys are here. They're working on a vacant apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's nice that they're working on a vacant apartment. I live here. What happened to the thing about making my experience great?
Yeah. Who's the priority?
Yeah. So. He said, well, they'll definitely be by tomorrow. I'm not going to let them leave without them putting that molding in. And then I was like, all right, well, what's the situation with the bedroom?
Mm-mm.
He's like, I don't know. I'll, you know, when I find out, I'll let you know. I'm like, all right, great. Because, and then I remind him, like, because I do have to move pretty much everything out of my bedroom. So I'm going to need some time to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right. So I come home today. The molding's on there. We got this blue tape holding it together. Tomorrow I can take it off and clean and then start piecing my life back together.
After the rain took it apart.
The rain wreaked havoc. Took my wheels, took my home. It's like my Katrina.
Man. Yeah. Let's hope it's behind you. All the apartment woes.
Yeah, it's just, and as it's happening, you're so angry, but then you know once it passes, you're not going to remember how irritated this made you.
Yeah, you won't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. What a saga. It was interesting. It not only was it interesting, but it took a nice 40-minute chunk of the show. And I thank you for that.
It's good. Well, yeah, that's why people. I'm exhausted from the stress of living like a hoarder. It's nothing that I ever want to live like.
Oh, what a nightmare!
It is a nightmare. But the silver lining is I am throwing out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's good. It kind of motivated you to declutter a bit.
Yeah.
Always a good thing, in my opinion, decluttering. Always a good thing.
Indeed. It's just stuff.
Yeah. I recently gave a couple of boxes to Goodwill, just filled with random stuff. Clothing, books, various things, shoes, you know. Felt good.
Yeah.
Make someone smile today, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to give them a whole bunch of DVDs.
Yeah, they're going to be like, what do we do with these? We stream everything. That's how I feel when I look at my DVD collection.
I know. That's what I did. I just kept the ones that either had like sentimental value or that I knew were hard to find. And like, well, I haven't seen that on streaming.
Yeah, I want like my DVDs. I just want to keep like really the best of the best of the stuff that I like. Or the stuff that was really hard for me to get initially.
Yep.
Like some international order I had to make to get something. I'm like, I ain't getting rid of that. Fuck you. The challenge was just getting this sucker. So, anyhow. Well, thank you for sharing, Aaron. Hopefully things are on the uptick.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening.
No. Yeah, so South Korea got rid of their president.
Oh, yeah. I meant to... I saw that this morning.
Officially out. As of yesterday, I believe. And as a side note, I just want to say I'm really sick of websites that play videos automatically when you click on them. It's such a pet peeve of mine. I really kind of would prefer to read a news article.
Me too. Than
to watch like some minute long condensed clip of what's going on. And I'm like, I think I'll just read. Okay. And it just plays automatically. And it makes the page take longer to load because they're loading a fucking embedded video. Anyway,
that's
just a quick rant. A pet peeve.
I had a similar thing happen with me in CNN. They had a video, and I usually hate the videos. I just want to read it, but it was like, oh, Dave Chappelle speaks at an Ohio town hall meeting. So I'm like, oh, I want to hear what he said. I click on it. Sure enough, it's the video of Dave Chappelle speaking, but you can't hear what he's saying because CNN has put some stupid music over it, and they're pretty much just putting like the type.
Subtitles?
It wasn't even subtitles. It was Dave Chappelle was in Ohio, and he decided to speak.
I know exactly what you're talking about that, because USA Today does the same bullshit. They'll just have like some cheesy music playing over the video and just some text on the screen kind of explaining what's going on.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's not just CNN, and it's an alarming trend, ladies and gentlemen. Be alarmed. Yeah, so President Park Geun-hye forced out of office by a corruption scandal. The country's constitutional court upheld a parliamentary vote. Is that how you pronounce that? Parliamentary?
Well, yeah, parliament, so it would be parliamentary.
Yeah, you know, I just don't want to be that guy. And everyone just kind of whispers as he continues reading, and they're like, did you hear the way he pronounced that? What a tit. To impeach Park over allegations of corruption and cronyism. I love that word, crony. She becomes the country's first democratically elected leader to be forcibly removed. Of course it's a woman. Right, guys? Okay. Three people have died amid chaotic protests in the capital.
What are they protesting?
Let's dig deeper. Seoul police spokesman Kim Tae-won, throw a rock, hit a Kim, told CNN Saturday that one protester died in a local hospital where he was being treated. Two others were confirmed dead Friday by firefighters overseeing emergency medical services on the scene of the protest. Dozens of people were injured. Thousands demonstrated after the unanimous decision by eight judges was read out down in a live broadcast that gripped the nation. The decision brings the career of South Korea's first female president to an inglorious end. It also comes at a pivotal moment for the region as North Korea ramps up its nuclear weapons testing program. And they say that all the time. Every year, they say North Korea ramps up its nuclear weapons testing program. So shut up, CNN. Here are the main developments. Stripped of her immunity, Park is liable to prosecution. A snap presidential election will be held within 60 days. Acting president warns North Korea may take advantage of the uncertainty. The scandal has also entangled the acting head of Samsung. He's like, what'd I do?
Well, he's had a rough year, huh?
I guess so. My notes blowing up in people's pockets? Park was brought down by a corruption scandal that has dominated South Korean politics for months. The president was accused of being unduly influenced by her longtime friend and advisor Cho Soon-sil, who is on trial for abuse of power and fraud. I guess there were a lot of people that were just making their presence felt in these quote unquote protests while the broadcast of the decision was unraveling or whatever. And they were just kind of like reaffirming their presence as a way of saying, yes, we want her to go. And then you had this other smaller portion of supporters for the president who are just like, we'll keep her in. How could you? Chips. The constitutional court agreed with accusations that Park had abused her authority in helping Choi raise donations from companies for foundations she had set up. We announced the decision as the unanimous opinion of all judges. We dismissed the defendant, President Park, said Justice Lee Jung-mi. An election for Park's replacement must be held within 60 days at an ad hoc cabinet meeting. And an ad hoc cabinet meeting will be held soon. With Park's ruling, conservatives looking out of favor, it seems likely the country will turn to the left-wing opposition, which it has signaled it would be likely to pursue a policy of engagement with the North. A left-wing government would also place into question the continued deployment in South Korea of a U.S. missile defense system, which is bitterly opposed by China. Liberal candidate Moon Jae-in of the opposition Democratic United Party currently leads the opinion polls. Chaos in the streets. Let's see, like, what was doing? Acting president was appealing for unity, acknowledging that the conflict had polarized the nation. He basically was telling people to quit acting the fool. a group of around 100 Park supporters tried to break through police lines near the court, and a number fell and were injured.
Did this woman do anything that... It just sounds like she was a politician. She was influenced by other people, by outside forces.
I read this and I thought, yeah, it sounds like politics from the rest of the globe.
I'm just thinking, like, I don't even really know. All I know is that she was impeached by South Korea, and I'm like, I'd take her. I'd rather have her.
Anti-Park demonstrators also took to the streets, some crying tears of joy and pumping fists in celebration as applause rang out from the crowd. Many had camped out in the streets overnight in the cold.
Or many Jeez, were just getting their floors redone, had no place to go.
Or getting their Bon Jovi tickets.
Nintendo Switch.
That's more likely. Fucking Nintendo. A lot of officers were there. Park's election in 2013 as the first female president was widely celebrated as a milestone, but her fumbled response to the Sewol ferry disaster tainted her ruling, and allegations about her relationship to Choi emerged during 2016.
Did you see how they figured that out? Like, basically what led to her downfall is somebody found the laptop.
Oops. Fucking laptops, people. here's a thought. Just stick with a notebook and a pen. You know what I mean? These fucking technology, they'll get you stuck.
Yeah.
Choi was arrested after being accused of abusing a relationship with the president. She denies claims that she forced companies to donate millions of dollars to foundations she had established. The case widened to ensnare Lee Jae-yong, the acting head of Samsung. Ah, that's why he's up in there. Prosecutors alleged that Lee of Samsung pledged tens of millions of dollars to win favor with Park and secure government support for a merger that helped tighten his grip on the company.
Isn't that what they do?
Well, yeah, but you can't get caught. That's the one rule that they fucked up on. He's on trial for charges of bribery and corruption, which he denies, of course. In December, lawmakers voted to impeach Park by a vote of 234-56, stripping away her executive powers. Since then, she has remained in the presidential palace, known as the Blue House, but has remained largely out of public view. Friday's ruling means Park loses the protection from prosecution she enjoyed as president, and that she could now face a formal investigation.
Man, well, see, you got a laptop, the emails.
Just write it down, folks. Man. Just write it down. Then you know they're gonna have to prove that you're even your handwriting if they catch it. But typing shit.
Wasn't me. I didn't write that. You can't prove it.
I don't look like my handwriting. That could have been faked. Get out of my face. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. That's been a thing that's been going on for a while now, but now it's official, like the referee whistle, as they say.
Yeah, CNN had that. the picture loaded first, and it was just a military-looking police person, and then some like a regular dude, but you couldn't see because their faces were like covered and stuff. And I'm like, great. What's popped off now? And then I'm like, oh, it's Korea. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're not the only ones, folks. There's this show that seems kind of interesting. Speaking of CNN, it's like a 6-part miniseries called Believers with Reza Aslan.
Oh, he's like, yeah.
Like a religious scholar.
Uh-huh.
But what really caught my attention was that he goes to India and he meets with this really small fringe group of Hindus called the Aghori.
Aghori.
And they're like this, tribal people, you know, like, oh shit, I'm caught in the jungle here, and all of a sudden I hear feet running, and then I hear a booga booga, kind of like that kind of tribal. You get what I mean?
First American tribal, like places
like
where
like Mowgli. Okay. Like that, like in the Jungle Book.
All right.
Like that. Same skin tone. So
they're not, I don't want to say time's forgotten them, because I don't want it to
come
sound
on, you can
like,
say that and get away with it.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be like that's a bad thing.
No, it's not necessarily.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take it as that. They just live as if time,
yes,
you know, not 2017.
Yes.
So these people, they're fucking nuts. And I'll say that because they're cannibals. They eat humans, is what I'm saying.
I mean, do they have rules about what humans they can eat?
And this dude was sitting there in a group, in a circle, you know, like a little hippie pea circle. And he's got like this dude with him who's like a translator, obviously. And his translator, he looks nervous. The host of the show looks fucking nervous. And he's talking to the tribe's leader. And the tribe leader guy has a necklace of human jaws. Like jaw. Like the lower jaw in your fucking mouth jaw.
Mm, that is intimidating.
It's intimidating. Yeah, if you saw this guy, he looks like Dalsum from Street Fighter V, people, if you play Street Fighter. Mm. But like a morbid version. A necklace of jaws, and they eat, they're cooking up human brain on the fire. Human brain, mind you. And the host, in his best Anthony Bourdain impression of when in Rome.
I mean, you got to. You don't want to.
Yeah.
This guy's got a necklace of jaws. What are you going to, you don't say no to the man with a necklace of jaws.
He takes the necklace of jaws and puts it on Roz's around his neck.
Now I'm the captain now.
So he's instantly like sweating because he's like, I don't want this shit around my neck. He then rubs cremated human remains in Roz's face. And I laughed because he looked like someone had played that prank on him where they smack you in the face with a bag of flour. When you're sleeping and you wake up and your face is all white and you just open your eyes and you just see these eyes blinking. You look like that, but it's ashes of a fucking human.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Horrific. And then Raza looks like he's about to have a panic attack. Rightfully so. Don't blame the guy. And he's talking a lot because you can tell he's nervous. And the jungle dude, he says, you talk too much, and if you keep running your mouth, I'm going to cut your head off.
Oh.
Dead serious. Yes. I was like, this is fucking crazy. He gets angry at Raza, takes a shit in his hand. Now, I applauded the ability to shit on command. That was impressive.
He just squatted into his hand?
Shit in his hand. The translator ran away. The translator, he went, oh no, and he ran. He throws the shit at Rasa.
Oh,
I was like, he clearly doesn't want you there, dude.
That's contaminated shit.
He calls the director over. The director comes over. So now we're seeing behind the curtain of Oz. And he's like, we got to figure out a polite way for me to get out of here.
A polite way? If this is a like fail me now type situation.
Well, he was so scared that he didn't want to keep infuriating the guy. So he was like, we got to get me out of here in a way that's not going to set this guy off anymore.
Do they have guns? I would be like, we're going to get Chicago up in this bitch.
But this dude could have chucked a spear in Raza's back if he tried running. I just imagine. But He said, you know, after the fact, after he was safe, his quote was, "I will cut off your head if you keep talking so much." He said, "I literally say to my director at one point, get me out of here. Get me out of here." Only later on, I realized that my director thought I was joking. He said, "Let me tell you something. I was not joking. If I do this show again, I'm definitely going to have to make sure that the director knows what my safe word is."
Yeah, that was just
because
saying.
I would have used it right then and there. Yeah, it was so gnarly. I was just like, this guy, get the fuck out of there.
Did they ever explain the like who are they eating?
Dead people. No,
but like, did they kill them eat them, or did they die of some disease and then they're eating them? Like,
I don't know yet. I've just seen the clips and the promotional stuff. This is all the promotional stuff. This is how you sell a show, ladies and gentlemen.
That is how you sell a show.
Of course, there's some backlash. Indian ministers fear that the show will incite hate crimes and prejudice.
Well, don't worry. We already got it covered, Indian minister.
They're like, with multiple reports of hate-fueled attacks against people of Indian origin from across the U.S., the show characterizes Hinduism as cannibalistic, which is a bizarre way of looking at the third largest religion of the world. What a dickhead. No, it doesn't. If people watch this show and thought that this was Hinduism, then they're fucking retarded.
But people are fucking retarded. That's what the Indian ministry should have led with. He should have led with, look, the reason that we don't like this show is because you people have shown that you're fucking retarded when it comes to religion. So,
and that is the sad truth that we can't even make a show that's kind of interesting like this again without somebody getting butt hurt. That's the world we live in because people are ignorant. But his response, the host, Reza, he said, okay, I disagree. But I'll also say that each one of these episodes, it's going to piss somebody off.
Yeah.
So fuck them, Reza. Do your thing.
I mean, you know how deep you roll for Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know how deep I roll for my teams. And you see another team, you're just like France. Fuck France.
Right.
So,
anyway, I thought that was interesting. I would, I don't know. Maybe worth checking out. I can't say it is worth checking out yet because I haven't seen it. But boy, if that didn't wet my whistle.
That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and to reiterate, it is called Believers with Reza Aslan on CNN.
Man.
I believe it's a 6-episode miniseries, and it started Sunday, March 5th.
CNN has been, I'm recording that History of Comedy show.
Yeah, CNN. I think that's the sound they make.
Yeah.
And now I think I'll wrap it up with some sad news.
Oh, no.
Sad for you and I, Aaron. Always Sunny may lose the Dennis system. The DENNIS system.
I haven't seen the most recent one.
I'm reading the article now. Quote, "This is the worst news ever. Glenn Howerton, Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, has just signed on to a new NBC pilot with Patton Oswalt and says the season 12 finale may be it for Dennis Reynolds on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia." No, that's what the author typed.
Well,
he says there will be an extended hiatus between seasons 12 and 13, too, even though it has been renewed through season 14. Wow. Let's clap that up.
But
that's impressive.
It
and
is
quite
impressive.
Frankly, they're still doing some great work.
If
you don't agree, have you been watching this season?
I have been watching this season, but I gotta say,
they got some stinkers, don't get me wrong. Quite frankly, this past week, not the one yesterday, last week's, was probably the most disappointing, almost ever, episode.
Was that the cricket episode?
The cricket episode.
Yeah, that was the last one I watched.
Might have been the worst episode, period.
I'm just really, really, really enjoying the Mick?
You and I will talk about that later.
I just that show, I laugh out loud at least 4 times in that show.
You must be a big fan of her.
I am.
Yeah.
And she's on the show and doing It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So I don't really see what the whole big tizzy is between that guy going off to do another show too.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to juggle though.
Typical man. Kid.
I guess. Or maybe he's just kind of tired of doing the show, but he doesn't want to just say that.
Yeah.
He told the rap, the option to come back is there. The option to come back is there, is in place, he said. It's very much a creative decision. I want to service the show as best I can, and if we decide the best thing for the show is for Dennis to leave, or at least leave for a while for whatever reasons we come up with, then that's what we'll do. If we decide it really is best for the show for my character to come back in some capacity, then that's what we'll do. Now, I exaggerate by saying it's sad news. I mean, the guy, whether he leaves or not, that's a long run. 12 seasons of one show. He's earned whatever creative freedom he has coming to him, quite frankly. And the show has enough quality episodes under its belt that they could bow out any time now and still be like, job well done, everybody. But he is my favorite character on the show. So there's that for me.
Yeah.
He is my favorite.
I can see that. I just still have the cricket episode was the last one that I saw, and I was like, and you know me and TV, and mm-hmm. I was like, wow, really?
I thought it was terrible only because of how awesome cricket is. Well, not so, I just felt that it was so much potential.
Yeah.
And the direction they took it in was so uninteresting.
They did interesting things in having these flashbacks of when he, popped in other episodes. And I was I remember that.
The only thing that it really confirmed to me was that Cricket is probably best in those small doses that we get him.
Yeah.
I was like, he's that character that pops in for 2 minutes, steals the scene, and you're like, fucking Cricket.
Because he's really hard to look at.
Yeah. And he just usually has a funny line. Like, the best line of the Cricket episode was the very last line, where he's like, mind if I go to the bathroom and smoke some PCP? I was like, that's the best line. And that's how they sprinkle him in the show, and it works.
Yeah.
But, man, what a waste of a show.
Yeah. I watched that, and then I watched the Mick, and the episode of the Mick I saw, I thought was really, really funny. So that was, I was just like, man, huh.
It's like, and I don't,
go ahead.
I don't like their decision to officially make Mac gay. I think it was a horrible idea. I thought the implication is a way funnier joke. But I think the show itself got nervous with keeping that as an implication and keeping it as a joke, because people would find it offensive if the implication of being gay is somehow funny. Which made me roll my eyes at the thought. But I think it works for this show better. Them always kind of making like these kind of weird jokey things about like his exercise bike, for example, and the fist in the seat. Damn, and him just funny. not getting it, but everyone else getting it. That's been the ongoing joke from the beginning. And I just thought that was one of those funny things that was consistent throughout all the seasons.
I don't know. It didn't bother me. I thought it was like, all right. Like they have two more seasons left. I can see. I'm not angry that they
I'm not angry either. I just think... I think things.
Yeah,
you I'll say that for after the podcast. I don't want to get too edgy on this show.
Why? Why not?
What? Why not?
Are you gonna offend the 14 people that listen?
I don't know. I might. No, it's not. There's no deep thinking behind it. I just feel like decisions like that are some sort of weird. I don't know. I don't know how to articulate it. Maybe that's why I decided to save it for after the show.
I think that their decision to do that came from a sincere place in how they, like, they're creating this thing, and it was this joke, and the joke was funny. And the joke was funny when we were all in a place where we thought we lived in a certain world where we could joke about that because people thought that we had come so far and been so enlightened. And then when you kind of realize, like, oh, no, we live in this world. Like, this is actually the world that we live in, where instead of people, they thought that people were, like, laughing with them instead of, like, at them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're laughing. They're in on the joke that he probably is gay, but he doesn't realize it. And so that's funny. And that's where, like, we always allude to it. But everybody's like, oh, but we're all cool with it and fine with it. And then when the events of last year sort of take place and everybody kind of takes stock, and, like, a lot of people were caught off guard in that this, I thought I lived in this world, but I think I actually might live in this world where, no, people are still laughing and thinking it's funny because, oh, like, he's acting like a faggot and that's hilarious. I think they kind of got panicked that the joke was taking on this context that they didn't mean.
I hear you. But I also don't think this is that show. I don't think we're supposed to like any of these characters. They're all deplorable. So for them to sort of change the jokes being presented in a way that sounds like they're being more socially conscious and aware and respectful, that's what I'm saying.
That's how this season started.
I would yeah.
But yeah, you can't it was, really like get I said,
that was a well-crafted episode.
Yeah, you can't really get much more than making a very pointed political statement and doing it very well within the confines of the show. But it kind of is, you know, they've gotten older. They have their parents now. The way that they look at the world and the responsibility that they feel now is changed, and that good or bad, but that happens. You all of a sudden you look at how your kids are reacting to the media that's what's out there, and it becomes, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution?
Can't argue with that, I guess.
So
I just not a personal move that I care for, but that's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have to like it. I can respect their decision to make that choice, but I don't have to like it from a viewer standpoint.
Yeah.
So.
And it could be wrong. That's purely my speculation.
That's all we can do is speculate unless they came out and said it. But I just thought, okay. Yeah. That's all you got to say about that.
Get out of my head.
It's true.
I was just thinking, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this shit up.
Boom, boom, boom.
Spoiler alert. Raina James dead on Nashville, if you haven't seen it yet, people.
Raina James, is that,
all right,
is
well,
that Britton? Connie
Britton, yeah.
Can we say how it happened? Just if you listen to watch Nashville or whatever, just bow out now. I don't, so yeah. I want to know what happened.
Got in a car wreck.
Ah, like all the great singers.
After surviving a knife to the throat by a fucking stalker.
Like right after?
Right after. On the ride home. Which made me do what you're doing now and laugh out loud and think, wow, they really wanted to kill this fucker off. Like, wow. It was just laughable. I was like, so she survives the stalker holding the knife to her throat, calms down, gets in the car to go home after this horribly traumatic ordeal, is on the phone with her husband telling her that she's going to be okay and that the police are handling it, and then gets T-boned?
She is driving?
No, she was a passenger.
I was about to say, they let her go and drive after that?
No, she's too rich for driving. But I was just like, fuck off.
Did we see her? How do we know she's dead?
Because she died in the hospital bed. And they spent a whole hour episode with her in the hospital and everyone saying their goodbyes, basically.
So what, is she off to do movies? Was she just not happy with the move to, what, CMT?
I don't know. It's a good question, because it seems weird to fight for a show to come back on the air after being canceled only to bow out a few episodes in. But maybe she was just like, yeah, let's see where my character's going on this show. And quite frankly, I haven't been watching that show for like a month anyway. I'm off that show anyway. I just heard about her dying.
I bet that she's got some offers. She seems like a very high in demand, like for that age group. And there's so much TV/streaming shows in production.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm done with Nashville anyway, so.
Wow.
Arrivederci, you fucks. Yeah. So yeah, monsterandwine@gmail.com, chachachatv.com, and until next week, what I just said, arrivederci.
Okay, I'm out.